here it is again this time of year when so many people are making plans for another year, and we began to review the year that we have just been blessed with, and we know that all the things that we have in this life are a direct result of God's merciful and bountiful hand, and we're always thankful for that. No doubt so many of you are thinking about back over this year and the things that you accomplished and maybe the things that you set out to do that you didn't get around to. I certainly try to do that and to think about what I've done over the course of the past year. And certainly we don't know what tomorrow holds. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. But again, we take this time of the year so many times to just reflect on the year gone by. Time goes fast. It doesn't seem that way. It seems when we are young that time goes by fast. And I recall hearing so many people say the older that you get, the faster it goes. And I'm beginning to feel that. It seems like that time certainly goes by quickly. And we make plans and we think about things that we would like to do, and we look back and think about things that we have done this year, not only individually, but things that we have achieved as God's people with the congregation here. We look back at the good gospel meetings that we have had and all the many good lessons that have been brought forth. We look back at all the many good Bible classes we've had and the participation that has been evident in those Bible classes with the able Bible class teachers that we have been blessed with and the work that has been put into those classes. And we're so thankful for that. We look at all the various things that individuals did as they've been busy about doing the work that God would have them to do as individuals. And we're so thankful for that. We're certainly edified to be able to be a member of a local body like this, and the encouragement that we have from one another. And so there's nothing wrong with looking at the past 365 days and thinking about what we have done and perhaps what we haven't done, about those resolutions that perhaps we made but we failed to keep. I don't know how many this morning make New Year's resolutions. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you make resolutions and you are so eager and zealous to get underway with those, and then they fade and you kind of put those on the back burner and just simply don't keep those New Year's resolutions. And I don't say that as to insinuate in any way that I keep every resolution or goal that I have, because certainly I've made many and then other things happen and we set those to the side and we don't get to accomplish nearly all that we had hoped to accomplish. But I want to talk with you for just a little while this morning about a review, an inventory that is superior to just simply looking back over the 365 days and thinking about goals that we had of various different ways. I want us to think about this morning for just a little while about self examination. That's evident in the passage that was just read in our hearing just a moment ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Again, I invite you to open your Bibles up as we look through there again and just simply notice what these Christians were admonished by the Apostle Paul to do. I know that Paul and all the writers of the Bible are writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul makes that point in 1 Corinthians 14:37 when he says, "If any man among you thinketh himself to be wise or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of the Lord." And so Paul is writing to them by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's evident when you look at this chapter that evidently along the way some have perhaps questioned his apostleship. Perhaps they had questioned whether or not God was truly speaking by him, or whether what he was saying and writing was inspired. And so he addresses that. But notice what he says in verse number 5 specifically. He says in this passage, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. Or prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." And I want us to focus our attention for just a little while this morning on the fact that he is telling these individuals to examine yourself specifically. He's telling them to do that. What happens along the way is that we try to take self-inventory of ourselves, and then we fail miserably in doing that from time to time. But then we recognize the importance of taking inventory, and we recognize the importance of taking an examination. But the problem is along the way, we try to examine, and we try to prove, and we try to take inventory of everybody but ourselves. You ever been guilty of doing that? I wonder how many times we hear sermons, or we hear Bible classes, or we hear invitations, and we really hear them for everybody except for us. And we think, oh, if so-and-so was on, just if they were here and could just hear that sermon. If they were here and could have heard what the preacher just said. I wish they could have heard that. Preacher, I need a CD. I've got somebody in mind that needs to hear what you just said. Now, I'm not saying that's always bad. But I'm saying that sometimes we take examination or make examination and we make inventory for other people and not our own self. And we really do what the Lord admonished the disciples to not be guilty of in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn there. Begin with verse number 1. Most of us are familiar with what the Lord stated in verses 1 and 2. Judge not, lest you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. Then he says, begin with verse number 3. Why beholdest thou the beam, or the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. How many of us have been guilty of doing what the Lord says in this passage to not do? That is, we have sin in our own lives. We have things that we have not taken care of in our own lives, but yet we think somehow that we can see clearly enough to make correction in everyone else's life. And that's what the Lord's saying, don't do. Don't use a standard of judgment with someone that you are not willing to first have applied to your own life. That's what He's saying. Don't use a measurement, a judgment. Don't hold someone to a standard that you are not willing to walk by yourself. If there are unresolved things in your life, take care of them. If there's something in my life that is amiss, that is not right before God, folks, I need to get rid of that first before I try to make correction in someone else's life. And we, of course, try to admonish people because we love them and want them to go to heaven. But again, when we think about making an examination and we think about inventory, we need to think about that for ourselves. Doesn't mean that we can't care about others, that we can't try to admonish them. And if we see something amiss in someone's life, that we don't go to them alone and try to encourage them to do what's right. But we need to make sure that we've got our own front porch swept before we try to sweep someone else's front porch and house. So I want us to think about for just a moment this morning about self-examination, asking the question, what does it involve? When Donnie Oliver needs to examine himself, when I need to take inventory of myself, and I need to prove my own self, to see whether I'm in the faith, what does that entail? What is involved in doing that? How does one do that? How can we achieve that? Here it is again, the ending of 2015, and we've looked back over the course of the last 365 days, and we think about things that we haven't done, things that we have done. But what about spiritually? Maybe you're in the audience this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Have you come to terms with that realization? Have you thought about those things? Have you thought about the hereafter? Have you thought about what if I don't make it to 2016? What then? Have you thought about what if the judgment comes this very hour? What then? Again, there's nothing wrong with examining time past and gone on. We're going to look at some of that in the sermon. We've got a higher examination that we need to fulfill. And that has to do with spiritual things. And the first one that I want you to think about this morning is that of honesty. Honesty. If I'm going to examine myself, then I need to do that with honesty. I need to be honest with myself. And not try to fool myself into thinking that I'm something that I'm not. Or fool myself into thinking that God is pleased with me when God is not. Or to be fooled into believing that I've done all that I can do when there could have been more things that I could have and no doubt should have done. I've got to examine myself, and so do you. I can't examine you. I don't know what's inside you. Now, we know what we've seen from one another on the outside. This is an examination we need to make on the inside. We need to do it with honesty. I say at the beginning of that God already knows. God already knows your condition before Him. He's not blinded to that condition. God already knows what you have done. God already knows what I have thought and what motivates me. God knows what motivates us to be here this very hour. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 139. As we think about the fact that God already knows, so we might as well go ahead and be honest with ourselves. Psalm 139, beginning with verse number 7. He's asking these questions, and notice what he says. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Do you think there's anything in your life, in my life, that is hid from the Almighty? Not a thing. Not a thing. When we examine ourselves, we've got to be honest. I've got to be honest with myself. And sometimes that's hard to do. Because we might have pride, or we might not want to come to terms with that because there may be necessary changes that need to be made. But we've got to be honest about our condition. Hebrews 4:13, a passage that you're very well familiar with. Neither is there any creature in this sight that is not manifest or made known, but all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In other words, the darkness is light, and the light, there's nothing that is hid from His eyes. When I think about what have I done? What have I done? Perhaps that is contrary to the Word of God. Will I admit that to myself? Will you? When I think about things perhaps that I haven't done over the course of the last year that I should have been doing, will I be honest about that, or will I try to explain it away and say, you know, I just didn't have time? I understand that we are busy and that we live in a very fast-paced life, but what are we busy doing? Do we need to make some changes? We could all perhaps do better than we have done. That's part of growth. But folks, we won't grow and we won't do better if we don't first examine and do that with honesty. Where can I grow? Where can I do better? Where can I grow and say, man, I shouldn't have made that mistake. I shouldn't have failed when it came to that. I shouldn't have had that thought. I'm going to try with as best as I possibly can to not do that again. And learn from it. Repent of it. Make confession to God in prayer. And keep on going in service to God with honesty. Thou, Lord, who knoweth the thoughts of the hearts of all men. Peter stated in Acts 1 and verse 24. Sometimes we're a little bit self-righteous when it comes to an examination of ourselves. And being haughty and self-righteous is not a positive virtue to have. You agree with that? We don't want to be self-righteous and think that there's nothing in my life that I can improve upon or I'm better than so-and-so. Think of the examples put forth in the Bible where individuals had those very attitudes. If you go back in places like Matthew chapter 23, over and over, the Lord reprimanded the Pharisees and the scribes because of their hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28, the Lord compared them, the religious rulers. What did He compare them to? Don't answer, I'll think about it. What did He compare them to in that passage? Graves, tombs, sepulchres. And He said, you're just like the tombs. You're like the sepulchres that on the outside they appear like whited walls. They appear beautiful on the outside, but on the inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. He said, even so you. On the outside you appear to be righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, I don't want the Lord to look at me like that. Now, I don't want that, but at the same time, if I don't want that, I better be examining myself. How would you like to have been in the audience that day and been among the religious rulers and had the Lord say, you're just like a grape, full of hypocrisy. You're not honest. What appears on the outside is not an accurate depiction or reflection of what's on the inside. Are we like that sometimes? That on the outside we appear to be righteous, but on the inside we're full of hypocrisy and iniquity? Let's examine ourselves with honesty. Not be like the Pharisee of Luke chapter 15. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like other people are. I do this and I do that. I'm not like that publican over there. Remember that? I'm not like other people, Lord. I'm better than they are. I'm so much better. And yet the publican, the Bible says, would not even so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but beat upon his chest, saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord taught that that man went away justified rather than the other. There's another thing that I want you to think about as we think about taking an examination of ourselves, and that is that we've got to be mindful of some things. We've got to be mindful of the past and the present and the future. There's nothing wrong in looking back over time that's went by and examining those things and what we did and what we didn't do and our faults and our failings. We need to do that. Well, there's a passage that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 when he talks about those virtues, those characteristics, and he said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and he's forgotten about some things. He's forgotten something. He's blind and he cannot see afar off, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There's nothing wrong with remembering what we were before we obeyed the gospel of Christ. Paul wasn't afraid to look back and to recollect the way that he lived his life before he obeyed the gospel of Christ. Now, he didn't do that with feelings of longing to try to go back and live like that. We understand what the Lord taught about that. We put our hands to the plow and we look back. We're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. But Paul understood what he used to be as opposed to what he is now. So we need to think about the past. We obey the gospel of Christ and not forget what the Lord did for us. I'm thankful that the Lord forgave me, even though I had done a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. Can't change them. Can't go back and undo them. But I'm thankful that God said, Donnie, if you obey me, I'll forgive you of those things. I'll forgive you. And I'll even give you a crown of life if you'll be faithful to me. I'm thankful for that. If we're faithful to Him. Think about what Paul stated concerning that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15, when he said, this is a saying, a true saying, and worthy of all acceptation. You need to accept it. A true saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And that was everybody but me because I had no sin. Is that what your book says? Paul said, of whom I am chief. Paul recognized what he had done, and he wasn't ashamed to admit it. Ashamed of what he did, no doubt. But he was able with honesty to say, this is what I've done in the past. We're in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Notice what he says. Turn over there and look at this. Galatians chapter 1, as Paul is writing to these Christians, people like most of you here this morning, that have obeyed the gospel of Christ, to arise to walk in newness of life. And now Paul's writing this letter to these Christians, and notice what he says in verse 13 beginning. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I destroyed it. I tried to bring it to nothing, as the word wasted means. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. That's what I used to do. Now, he's writing this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's admitting this for their benefit and for his too, no doubt. That's what I used to do. But notice verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Was Paul saved by the grace of God? There's no denying that. No denying that. Yes, he was. But he got up too, and he obeyed the instruction of the God-sent preacher, Acts 22:16, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood. And then he goes on to tell them what he did after his conversion. Then notice what he said in verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Paul was honest about what he did. The people already knew it. He had a reputation. God knew it. The people knew it. Paul knew it. He examined what he had done. He obeyed the gospel. I want to stop here and make one brief statement about that as well. There's no indication that Paul let that hinder him from doing what he was to be doing in service to God. No indication of that I can find. But sometimes we allow the things we've done in the past to slow us down. Like a ball and chain. Like a rucksack. We try to pack those things away. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you obey, God will set you free from those things. He'll forgive you. But you got to keep going. Let those things go. God's forgiven. And we need to forgive ourselves. But we need to be mindful of the present. It's our passage from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourself in the present tense. It's what you need to be doing now. What am I doing right now? We've examined the past, what I've done, where I need to make correction. What am I doing right now? Am I who God would have me to be? Am I behaving? Am I acting in a way in which God would have me to act and behave? Am I busy doing the things that God would have me to do now in light of what the Bible says, which we'll talk about in just a moment? But your condition before the Lord right now, my condition before the Lord. When we stand to sing the song of invitation just a moment, which is a convenient time for you to come forth and obey the gospel of Christ, if you're not a Christian, I hope that goes through your mind. And I'll say that kindly but firmly. I hope that you think about what is my condition and what is hindering me from going forward to obey the gospel of Christ. I'm going to examine myself and make the necessary changes. Have I done what the Lord has asked me to do, has required of me? Am I doing it now? Am I walking now in the light as He is in the light? And am I have fellowship with Him and His Son and those of like precious faith? 1 John 1, 6 through 9. Have I done that? That's a question you have to answer for yourself. Well, we need to examine the future. Here it is, years before us. So what are we going to do in the future? What do we plan to do in the future? Again, we are not promised with time. That immortal question that's asked in James 4:14, whereas what is your life? You know not what is unmoral. What's your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The calendar may run on, but you may not run on. I might not run on. Not in this life anyway. What am I going to do? The reason I make that point is not only in trying to get you to consider your condition before God now and what you plan to do about it, but don't make plans that leave God out of the picture. Don't get so busy that you're filling out your planner and your calendar of upcoming events and you don't think about God. That God is not in your calendar from day to day. Blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Remember that passage, Psalm 1:1-3? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You read the rest of that psalm and think about how blessed that man is and what he is likened unto. What are we going to be doing this upcoming year if God blesses us and he's merciful that we have time? Are we going to be living for him and serving him in all sincerity? Doing the things that God would have us to do? Colossians 1 and verse number 23, being rooted, settled in the faith, that we continue in those things. Matthew 24:13. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be, what's your book say? The same shall be saved. Are you making plans that you are going to endure to the end, that come what may, you are going to serve God and do the things that God would have you to do? But when we make an examination of ourselves, we've got to do it in being mindful in light of the Word of God. I pointed out in the Bible class this morning that God's Word really is at the center of everything because it's our standard of authority. It's our standard of authority, Colossians 3:17. And so when we examine ourselves, we have to do that in light of what this book says. Not in light of what people would have me to do or what they think I need to be doing. Not examining myself in light of what my wife wants me to do or your husband or whatever the case may be. But examine ourselves in light of what the Bible says. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. And those are not the only ones that Paul told that to. In Galatians 6 verse 4, let every man prove himself, and so shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Prove yourself. Test yourself. Examine yourself in light of what the Bible says. The Bible is sufficient. A lot in the religious world today would have you and me to believe that the Bible does not contain the final revelation of God to man. But yet the Bible says that it does. Places like 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things, not some, not part, not a few, but all things that pertain to life and godliness. Most of you, if not all of you, familiar with Romans 1:16 about the gospel. It goes on in verse 17 to say, for therein that is in the gospel is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. When we want to know what to do to be right before God and to live a godly life before Him, we need to look no further than His revealed Word, the Bible. How many people here this morning own a Bible? In fact, if I were to say, raise your hand, I'm not going to, but if I were to say, raise your hand, if you do not own a copy of the Bible, my guess is that there would probably none that would raise their hand and say, I don't have a Bible, preacher. Most people have a Bible. In fact, most people have more than one copy of the Bible. But how many of us esteem the Bible for what it is, the revelation of God to man, the actual words from God to man. And that when I open up the Bible and I read it, that is God communicated His will to you and me. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, you let us know and we'll make sure you get one. The Bible, the inspired Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 talks about how it's the Word of the Almighty God. It's a passage in the book of Psalm that I really like the thought and the meaning that he gives to us relative to the words and the precepts of God. Notice what he says in Psalm 19:7-10. He says, the law of the Lord, Psalm 19:7-10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. How would you like to have some bullion? Some gold bars? Now, I looked that up not long ago. How much is a gold bar worth? And it's worth a bunch of money. I can't recall now what it is. God says, my word is so much more valuable and to be desired than fine gold. Not just gold, but fine gold that has been tried and all the impurities are out of it. My word is pure. He said, he makes the statement. His law is pure, enlightening the eyes. Do we desire it? 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. In the upcoming year, how many of you are going to read the Bible through? Are you going to do that? There's all kinds of reading Bible reading plans you can get. And read the Bible through in a year. Do you desire to know the Word of God and to live by it? You made that self-examination in light of the Word of God. The faith which has once delivered the saints. Jude 3. We need to do an examination and be flexible. Not compromising, but flexible. Because if we examine ourselves and we find that we have shortcomings, we have faults, and we have failings, then we need to be flexible enough that we're going to make those necessary changes. Sometimes we are so set in our ways and so rigid that we find making changes very difficult. Can you relate to that? There's things in our life that if we had to make changes regarding that, it would be difficult because we've done it so long. But when it comes to examining ourselves and we find out that we are not doing what God would have us to do, in light of His Word, I need to make those corrections and do better. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that. In fact, God wants us to recognize that. What's wrong is when we recognize it, we fail to do anything about it. I don't know who coined this phrase, but I really like it. Someone once said, if you remain flexible, you'll never get bent out of shape. I like that. In fact, we can't repent of things if we are not willing to make changes, because to repent means that we're going to have a change of attitude, a change of mind concerning sin, and we're going to do better. We're going to stop doing wrong and begin to do that which is right. Matthew 21:28-31 talks about it. A good Bible definition of repenting, about the man that had two sons, and he said to the one, go today and work my vineyard. He said, no, I'm not going to. But later he changed his mind and went. He repented and went. And then the other one said, upon being told his father to go work in his vineyard, I'm going, but he never went. And the Lord said, which of the two did the will of his father? Is the one who repented. To examine or to make the commitment and fail to follow through with it is not doing the will of the Father. But to know that we've made mistakes or that we have failed or that we're doing wrong and to repent of that and make the necessary corrections and obey is to do the will of the Father. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, you can write down and study that. It's a great example of individuals who once were caught up in ungodliness. And Paul says, beginning with verse 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? And he lists, he catalogs some things that these people had been guilty of doing. And he says, but such were some of you. Some of you did these very things, but now, this side of your obedience to the gospel of Christ, you're washed, you're clean, you're justified, you're sanctified. You're in a right relationship with God. Whereas in time gone by, past, you wasn't. Then the last one I want you to think about is when we evaluate ourselves and we examine ourselves, we need to do that because we have concern. Too many people today are not concerned with their life before God. They're concerned about all kinds of other things. And I don't say that haughtily because there was a time when I used to be concerned about all kinds of things, but not concerned with what God would have me to be doing. You think about it, I think I presented in a lesson not long ago about the great lengths of that people go to make preparation for what if moments. Think about that. I better fuel up the car because what if I run out of gas? I'll buy some health insurance because what if I get sick and need to go visit Ray? Or I'm going to buy some fire insurance or flood insurance in case my house catches fire or gets wet, floods. I do all these things because what if? Buy some life insurance, burial insurance, because what if I die? Well, I'm going to die. But yet we know that there is a day of judgment coming. We know that the Lord is one day going to sit as judge. Not to be on this earth, but to come as judge. And all nations are going to be gathered before Him. Matthew 25. It's going to come at a time when we don't know. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. As a thief in the night. We know that that's going to happen, but how many of us make preparation for that? Are we vigilant? Are we watching, waiting for the coming of the Lord? But here's the question again. How much concern do I have for myself? We understand we've got to be concerned about others, but folks, I'm not going to stand on the 2 feet of other people. Come the judgment day, I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. I need to have concern about my spiritual condition before God. It's not about other people. It's about me. It's not about if I walk down the aisle, they've won and I've lost. I've gave in to what they've been trying to tell me to do. It's not about that. It's about your condition before God. It's about going to heaven instead of spending eternity in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone for all eternity. And they're saying, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's about obeying the Lord today. Are you concerned about you? Let me tell you something. God is concerned about you. This room is filled full of people who have concern for you. And the spotless Lamb of God is concerned about you and shed His blood on the rugged cross of Calvary so that you can be saved and spend an eternity in the glories of heaven. That's what He's concerned with. Are you concerned about yourself? And that silver cord is loosed, Ecclesiastes 12:6. The golden bowl broken, or the pitcher broken at the fountain, then the dust shall return, the body rather, shall return to the dust from which it came, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12:7. That's going to happen. But have I examined myself? And been honest. Examine myself and what I have done, what I'm doing now, what I plan to do, Lord willing, in service to Him. Have I examined myself in light of what His Word says? Have I examined myself because I have concern about where I'm going to spend all eternity? There's only one way to become a Christian. And I want you to become a Christian this morning if you're not one. And here's the only way that we can become a child of God. It's settled in heaven, revealed in His Word, and it'll remain when the world is on fire. We are to hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. Repent of our sins, Luke 13, verse 3. Confess our faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, before men. Matthew 10, 32, 33, Romans 10, verse 10. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. To arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord, Acts 2, verse number 47, that He purchased with His own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. Have you done that? Perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen away. You've turned your back on the Lord, and you're not living as you should. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. We're getting ready to stand and sing, I am resolved. I am resolved no more to linger. Will you come right now?